You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Now let's jump into it.
Yeah, this is DJ Andrew sitting down again with Dr. Dubé. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Maintaining in this heat.
It has been hot.
Yes, it has. It absolutely has. We just
got to remind our listeners to stay hydrated and, you know, turn on the AC if you can. If you can't, you know, find a cool place to be, because the heat can be dangerous, especially for those that have chronic conditions, or the elderly, or those that may be sick. So stay hydrated and stay out of the heat.
I guess the temperature fell right in line with our subject matter for this week, staying safe in the summer. Health benefits of staying safe and active during COVID-19. Now, last week we spoke briefly on, you know, how exercise plays a part in us staying healthy and active. Definitely now, with the temperatures that we're dealing with, and from what I understand, it's going to be somewhat short-lived. Like, we're going to cool back down again next week. But summer is right around the corner, like actual summer, not the spring summer we're getting. Summer is right around the corner. So what are some of the things we should be considering? Definitely stay hydrated. I think I have a habit of not being properly hydrated, no matter what season of the year it is. So any tips or assistance in that specifically that you have?
So specifically related to COVID, the main thing is, you know, try to keep as many of your activities outdoors as possible, because we know that when you're outdoors, and you know, the virus has to deal with the elements, it does not do very well. So outdoors is much safer than indoors, specifically related to COVID and all other respiratory illnesses as well, right? So get out there, go to the park, have summer barbecues in the park, and enjoy yourself. Exercise as much as possible, right? It's the best time to go out for a walk. A lot of us don't do that, but it's one of the best things you can do for your mental health and for your physical health as well. So get out there, exercise, drink some water, drink some Gatorade, or maybe any electrolyte beverage. So it doesn't have to be Gatorade, right?
Right.
You name it.
Any of the aids, the Powerades, the Gatorades.
Exactly.
Right. So we're talking about doing as many activities outside as possible. You have people that are dealing with summer allergies, spring allergies. And whatever medications they may be taking with regards to those allergies, any other ailments they may be dealing with. How does that affect, reactions and relation to the vaccine?
So if you have seasonal allergies, make sure you take your allergy medications. It's very, very important, because that, you know, you want to feel good, you want to feel well, right? In terms of relating to the vaccines, there is no interaction between those medications and the vaccines.
Good to know.
You should still get vaccinated, right? There are some people who have weakened immune systems, who are on medications that cause them to have weakened immune systems. We call such people as immunocompromised. So people who can have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, or even people who have cancer, right? You should still continue taking your medications, and you should get vaccinated, because the vaccines don't interact with those medications at all.
Good. Good for people to know. So outside is opening back up, so to speak. Inside is opening back up. And people are excited to go out and party, just to gather and have a great time. A friend of mine who's a DJ back in Philly He said, the rates of people attending parties isn't matching our vaccination rate. He said, I'm starting to see a lot more photos with way more people in it that are claiming they're vaccinated. And overall, our vaccination rates are still below 40% or around 40%. And I know part of that is some people having gotten their first shot and maybe not their second one. There's a myth, and I'm not sure if it's a myth, but there's something I've heard with regards to people feeling like, well, I've gotten the first shot. And they're saying, that's 90% coverage. Do I really need the second one?
So, yes, getting a shot is the first step. Getting your first shot is the first step, right? At least when we're talking about the two mRNA vaccines, the two-dose series. The best effect that has been studied is the one that occurs after your second shot. And we know that it lasts more than 9 months at this point. It has been demonstrated that's the case. So if you get a single shot, yes, you may be protected, but you're not going to be as protected as if you had two shots. Not only that, your period where you're immune, the period in which you have antibodies, robust antibodies, mm-hmm. actually may decrease much, much faster than if you completed the second dose.
How much time is too much time to go in between shots?
Well, so typically they say if it's Pfizer, it's 21 days, right? And if it's Moderna, it's 28 days. What we have seen from studies in the UK is that they waited 6 weeks, and people were still fine. People were able to get vaccinated after six weeks. So I can tell you that my daughter, who was 16, got vaccinated, and it was with the Pfizer, of course, because she's 16. And she waited 5.5 weeks between shots because we couldn't get in for one reason or another.
Okay.
So it's still fine to go in.
Okay. So in the effort to stay on topic with staying safe during the COVID-19 vaccine, or during the COVID-19 period, how necessary is it to wear your mask in a car?
Well, it depends, right? If you're riding with people who are unvaccinated and you have the windows rolled up, of course, that's the opportune moment for spreading the virus, right? So you should mask up. If you're gonna be riding in a car, try to have at least 50% of the windows open so that you can increase circulation. Wearing a mask is kind of like going the extra step in terms of protecting yourself. I have a friend of mine who was saying this, last week, that, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the bathroom, right? You can choose, you can use the bathroom and not wash your hands, right?
Right.
Yeah. But you're just increasing the chance of spreading or even catching whatever disease that you, that's bacteria that's not supposed to be in your mouth.
Right.
That's the same thing with wearing a mask. You're just adding extra protection, making sure that you're protecting yourself and those around you, because you could be the one that's spreading the disease.
You definitely could be the one, listeners. It could be you. Absolutely. I've noticed that definitely it's a requirement with Uber and Lyft, that their drivers, like, you know, we wear masks. We prefer that you wear masks. You get the notification in the app, even with a lot of these delivery services. You know, your delivery, your Grubhub driver will be here soon. Please put a mask on.
Yeah. It's just about protecting their employees, right? They need to, Uber and Grubhub, etc., Lyft, you name it. They need to protect their employees. They need to protect their workforce. Because some of them are not vaccinated yet, right? And if you're the one who's spreading it to them, how horrible would it be, you know, if you led to someone's death, if you led to someone's severe illness, that would be really terrible.
Yeah. school's about to end, so naturally, children are going to want to go outside and play. What are the concerns we should have around kids that aren't vaccinated? I know early in the pandemic, we were given the information that children weren't really at risk, and that these were isolated cases. For the most part, these were anomalies or very low risk, very low percentages of children that were contracting the vaccine. I mean, contracting COVID-19. So now that everyone's going to be out of school and people are going to be outside, kids are going to be outside, what are the concerns now? I know the vaccination age has lowered now, where younger children can be vaccinated. How much of a priority should that be before we're letting, our children go out and play with each other in the community or in parks?
Well, so if, as the CDC said, and as OHA said as well, even if you're not vaccinated and if you're outside, you don't need to mask. Even though it's a good idea to mask, you can get away with not masking. Because of what we talked about earlier, right? Being outside ensures that the virus doesn't spread as much. And so have your kids go outside. Have your kids, go ride their bikes, go to the park. When you have play dates, don't be inside the house.
Okay.
Or don't go to a place that's enclosed. If you're gonna do that, then it may be a good idea to have your kids wear a mask. Because they could still get the virus, and they could still spread the virus. So it's important to note that kids are getting sick, and some kids have died from this
pandemic, right?
COVID-19. So yes, early on we saw a whole bunch of mostly elderly folks and mostly adults dying from this. But we, over the 15, 16 months of this pandemic, we've seen kids die from it as well. So protect your kids, get vaccinated. It's now essentially a preventable disease via the vaccines.
So early on, like you said, we saw primarily some of the older population being greatly affected by COVID-19. And then we started seeing cases rising in children. Was this as a result of mutation, or was this testing that we're finally seeing more results popping up in children? How did that happen?
So the testing plays a part as well, right? Mm-hmm. And kids were getting tested because they were getting sick. The disease has not been, at least here in Oregon, the mutations haven't, like we talked about in the past, mm-hmm. the main strain here in Oregon is the one that was initially found in the UK, the B.1.1.7. That didn't start being the dominant strain until recently. So that's a new phenomenon. Okay. And kids were getting sick prior to the B.1.1.7 being the dominant strain. So testing definitely played a role. When we tested more kids, when we had more access to testing, we were able to catch more cases, and we're able to see that kids were actually getting sick and were getting the virus at about the same rate as adults. That fortunately, as is the case with in most respiratory illnesses, kids don't get as sick as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so now we're talking about kids outside socializing. You said it's safe for that, as they're touching different surfaces, sharing bikes, things of that nature. Where are we with that?
So you bring up a very interesting point, right? Which is, we call that fomite transmission, meaning transmission from surfaces. We actually know that we have sufficient data now to say that that's actually very, very rare. Most people who get the virus are not getting it from touching surfaces that are infected. So it's incredibly, I won't say it doesn't happen, but it's rare. So yes, have your kids go outside, they can share bikes, but you know, I'm not saying, you know, it's a free for all, right?
Right.
What I'm saying is, yeah, it's important to note that. What I'm saying is, it's not as big a factor as we thought at the beginning of the pandemic. We're learning a lot. Just like you brought up the very important point that in the past, we thought kids were not, get the virus as much as adults. Now we know that they do.
I'm glad you said it, you phrased it that way, you know, and framed it that way, that we're learning a lot. I think one of the things that caused so much skepticism was how quickly we were moving through the different stages of guidelines. So at first it was everybody stay away from everything, every surface, don't breathe, don't move, stand still, stay in your house, put your face over boiling water with lemon. Like, it was just all these different guidelines, right?
Then
as they started to roll back a little bit, okay, you can be around each other, but wear a mask. If you're going to be in a room, make sure the windows are open. Like, there were different things that we were doing here at the radio station to allow us to be able to work in open settings with windows open. Even last summer, we'd have the AC on with the windows open and ceiling fans running. And we still limited ourselves to like three people in a room if we were conducting interviews and things like that. To see us go through these different stages, I think within our community, it did cause doubt over and over again. And then you had just everyday citizens questioning the validity of the information. It's like, well, what is it? First you said this, now you're saying that. And really, this is just, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is just everyone becoming more familiarized with the scientific process, how this works. As you learn, you make adjustments.
That is very, very true. So what happened is, some of us were not old enough. I'm sure you were not old enough to remember the HIV pandemic. But you hear about stories. A very good story is Magic Johnson when he got HIV/AIDS, right?
Oh, yeah.
When he got HIV, some players were saying that they were not going to play if he wasn't in court.
Right? I do remember that.
It was because people didn't know a lot about the HIV virus. And so as a result, they were uncomfortable with that. And so as new information came up, we began to realize that, it's, you know, you can't get it from touching someone's sweat, right?
Right.
So it changed with time, and people's practices changed with time. As a matter of fact, remember how it used to be a death sentence? There's that movie, you're from Philly, right? There's that movie, Philadelphia. Denzel Washington and
Tom Hanks,
yeah.
Yep.
It was a death sentence back in those days. But we learned a lot and we adjusted our behaviors based on what we learned. And so it's the same thing with COVID-19. We didn't know a lot about this project. We didn't know a lot about this pandemic, this virus at the very beginning. But as we learned, we adjusted and we changed our habits. We changed our guidelines. We changed everything based on the information that we were learning. So it happens all the time. I could go on and on about how over the years we've changed certain things, and yet we still buy into science. We still believe our doctors, right?
Yeah.
Our information about heart attacks or even diabetes has changed over the years. The way they were treating diabetes back when Jackie Robinson had diabetes, and he actually died of diabetes complications, right? Is very, very different from the way we're treating and talking about diabetes now. So it's just understanding. As our understanding, as our knowledge about certain diseases grows, so does what we say about them.
What are some of the best places to make sure that we're getting the most accurate information as these guidelines change, as safety protocols change? I mean, everyone has internet access. Everyone's going to be on social media. So whatever reliable and scientifically founded information comes out, there's always going to be some meme that counteracts that and some urban myth that counteracts that. So what are some of the good places, the solid places that people can look for information?
So that's a very good question. We're actually talking to a group of mostly Black attorneys earlier today. And that's one of the questions that they brought up. Mm. So a lot of people are concerned about the information that's out there. And Dr. Google knows everything, right? You can find whatever it is that you want on Google.
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Google has all the answers. So yes, there's a place for Google, but for the most part, and you have to also realize that when you Google stuff, the results that prop up only show the algorithm, only show your previous, are influenced by your previous preferences, or your previous searches. So right. It'll give you what you want to see. Important places and reliable places to get information, CDC. So the CDC website is a very good place to go. You can go to the OHA website. That's a very reliable place to get information.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish there was an app. Maybe is there an app that people can go to that just gives them updates as things change?
I'm not in that sphere.
Okay.
Person, okay. That would be a good idea to for someone to create that app. So listeners out there, some of you entrepreneurial folks, make an app that update people about what's going on and new information that's coming out about this pandemic. But without a doubt, go to the CDC website, go to the OHA website. If you're in Washington, go to the Washington Health Department website and you will get reliable information.
Excellent. So next week we'll be talking about, it'll be more youth focused. But I don't want people to have to wait until next week to get as many, you know, guidelines and protocols as they can to stay safe and to keep our youth safe. So I'm glad we were able to touch on some of that today. Is there anything else that maybe we haven't covered in some of our previous episodes or in today's episodes that you think is vital just to people having an understanding on how important it is to get vaccinated, to get the vaccination?
So we're learning more and more about how protective these vaccines are. We knew from the beginning that they were incredibly effective. And we're still gathering data showing that they're incredibly, incredibly safe, incredibly effective in protecting you. So get your kids vaccinated right now. If you're 12 and older, you can get vaccinated. Get your kids vaccinated because they spread the disease just like anybody else.
Right.
Get vaccinated. If you have questions, ask, you know, talk to your primary care doctor, talk to your primary care provider, engage people who are knowledgeable on this. Because I can tell you that Dr. Google is not always the right answer. Or the memes on Twitter or the memes on Instagram.
Right.
They don't always provide the best information. So, engage trusted, reliable sources. Or the politician next door doesn't necessarily have the right answers, right? Because this is a public health issue, not a political issue.
Right.
Yeah. So get your information from medical experts who are experts in public health and in infectious diseases.
Excellent. Yeah, the politics can really complicate some very, very simple scientific basic understandings around biology and you know, just staying healthy and preventing the spread of viruses. So we got to keep that in mind. It's very important.
And what I will say is, former President Trump was vaccinated.
Right.
Former President Barack Obama was vaccinated. George W. Bush was vaccinated. Jimmy Carter was vaccinated.
Right.
So regardless of party affiliation, they're getting vaccinated.
Right.
Because they know the value of the vaccines. They know how important these vaccines are and how effective they are. Right. From what I understand, I've heard that all 100 senators have been vaccinated as well, regardless of party. So,
right.
And
right.
I'm sure, yeah, you know that there are 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans in the Senate.
Right. But all of them are vaccinated. Right. Yeah, so, regardless of them playing politics and deciding who wants to wear a mask on camera and who doesn't, you're all vaccinated.
So, yes. So if they're all vaccinated, you should get vaccinated too, because clearly they know the benefits of what's going on. That's why they're getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yes.
You heard it here, folks. And you're going to hear it. You're going to continue to hear it. We're going to be discussing this every single week, every Friday. Make sure you're tuned in. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you, my man. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Take care.
All right, now.
Stay cool.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.